help us to commence this evening with hymn 886. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor that's free and full and flowing o'er. 886.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, Psalm 111. Part of Isaiah chapter 42. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein, whose work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth for ever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Isaiah 42. We'll read the first 16 verses. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs. And I'll make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and kindly grant us prayer. O Lord, we plead for thy help here this evening. We might be enabled to worship God in spirit and in truth. O Lord, who send thy spirit down, Lord, in the name of thy Son, to reveal thy Son, that we may, as the hymn writer says, worship God in his Son. There he's love and there alone. For he that seeth thee, Lord Jesus, seeth the Father. O Lord, come and dwell with us. Lord, in the name of thy Son. For Lord, we are unworthy, unworthy of anything but thy wrath. But Lord, thy Son is worthy, worthy the Lamb. O, reveal to sinners tonight the Lamb of God. May he be lifted up, and poor sinners behold the Lamb, which taketh away the sin of the world. May sinners have their sins taken away. Lord, leave us not to trifle with this great matter. Lord, it's my sins, it's the sins of each one. Lord, oh, have mercy. If we're not convinced of sin, do convince us of it. And we're not, unless thou dost do it. The Lord, thou said thou wilt do it. Thou wilt convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, we pray, grant this evening. And where thou hast brought in, Lord, convince sinners, dying sinners, perishing sinners. May the great trumpet be blown and they come, which are ready to perish. Oh, may the lepers come and be made clean. Lord, plunge them. Plunge us in that crimson ocean. Lord Jesus. Oh, that boundless sacrifice of thine. Lord, that efficacious blood. That precious blood. Lord, that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, do open it unto us. Oh, Lord, we pray, bring us nigh by that precious blood. Nothing else can bring us nigh, Lord. For we cannot come nigh to God except sin be removed. But, Lord, thou dost draw sinners to thy Son in all their sin, and he doth bring them to God. Lord, there is no way to thee but by thy Son. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me, thou said. O Lord, a washed sinner, cleansed, O, do grant it to us. Bless this people then, and thy Zion throughout the earth. Do good unto her. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, cause the hedges that thou hast broken down to grow up again. the walls that are broken down to be rebuilt. Lord, do grant, we pray, the candlestick of truth to be established, and Lord, the blessed light to shine in the preaching of the gospel with the power of the Spirit. Oh, we do pray, Holy Comforter, thou whom we've grieved with our sins, and cause thee to withhold thine influence. Oh, return, O Holy Dove, return, we pray. Lord, come down, for the glory of thy great name, the salvation of our souls, the making of us fruitful. Lord, have mercy. Oh, we do need everything, Lord, that thou didst speak of in that chapter wherein thou dost describe thyself as the vine. Lord, what purging we need. Oh, what union with Christ we need. What abiding of him in us, and we thereby abiding in him. Oh, we do pray, Lord, grant that living faith. Lord, so may there be that abiding in thee. Oh, speak, Lord. There's mercy in the sound. All power belongs to thee. Lord, help us to come to thee believing it is so. Lord, we need the putting forth of thy power to enable us thus to come. Oh, do grant it, we pray. We do hear the petitions of thy people. Those who've truly come in the way the hymn described, seeking and hoping to find a portion for their soul. Lord, feed them well. Oh, thy feeding is a blessed feeding. Feed thy lambs, feed thy sheep. Lord, do undertake then. Grant that help one needs. Oh, leave one not to be a cloud without water. Leave one not to be a dry breast. Leave one not to be a letter minister. Oh, we pray to be an able minister. By thy enabling. Of the Spirit and not of the letter. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Oh, may there be a living ministry given tonight. Lord, let thy people's souls live. Bless this means thou hast appointed. It hath pleased thee through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Lord, we pray for it. Lord, the hearts of all are known to thee. The lives of us all are known to thee. Our sins, Lord, our idols, our besetments, the weights that do so hinder us, the sins that do so easily beset us, the snares we're in. Lord, the deceit, the hypocrisy. Lord, the vanity. Lord, any errors. Oh, search us and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us, we pray, in the way everlasting. Do perfect that which concerneth us each. To do that, Lord, we must know what John said. He must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, we pray for it. And Lord, in all our lives matters, oh, we do pray for thy overruling. We do pray, Lord, for thy appearing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for upholding through the trials. We pray for preservation in the temptations. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Bless this church. Oh, do look upon them in mercy. Cause thy face to shine upon them. Oh, bless each member of the church with a growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. work mightily in the congregation to this same end. Lord, oh, thou knowest where there is a longing to know thee. Thou knowest, Lord, where there are those who fear, who feel they do not know thee. But Lord, thou knowest where there's a real longing to know thee. And Lord, thou said the desire of the righteous shall be granted. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Bless the young. Oh, we pray, raise them up. A seed to serve thee. Thou said instead of the fathers shall come up the children. Oh, may it be so. Lord, but oh, wherever thy children are, do manifest them. We do beg, Lord, that the church of God, the true church, might be maintained. It might please thee that there shall yet be a remnant in this land. And we beg, Lord, that thou wouldst graciously and mercifully look upon the churches and congregations with which we're connected. And cleanse us, Lord, from the things that grieve thee, for thou hast a controversy with us. That is apparent. Lord, we beg, do undertake. Lord, we would thank thee for thy mercy. Though as we've read from thy word this evening, thou art ever mindful of thy covenant. Wherein thy work does yet appear, we would thank thee. But Lord, oh, we do need that work to appear more. But Lord, it must be, it shall be, it can only be according to thy holy will. We would then pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as in heaven. But is it not thy will, Lord, that each of those whom thou hast given unto thy Son shall be born again, shall come to a knowledge of thyself. And is it not thy will, Lord, that thy church shall be maintained to the end of the world? Thou said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We pray for the constraining of thy love. Oh, we pray for the liberating of thy blessed Son. If the Son shall make us free, we shall be free indeed. Oh, look upon those now, Lord, that are in bondage. Thy captives, thy prisoners. Lord, help them even tonight to turn to the stronghold. Even today do I declare I'll render double unto thee. Lord, bless the families then with thy tender fear. Oh, be truly the head of each house. Oh, be our head, our ruler, our guide, our king. Oh, we beg, Lord, that thou wouldst mercifully undertake. Help the afflicted. According to thy will, do heal. Bless the aged. May the word be fulfilled for thy people. At evening time it shall be light. Oh, do glorify thy name, Lord. Oh, Lord, do show how kind and strong thou art. Bless, Lord, with that. Favour of the earnest of the Spirit. Lord, when death appears, oh, may Christ appear. And death be lost sight of, in all its deadly sting, in all its curse, and it be seen in the sight of Christ, as a friend, not a foe. But Lord, we pray for dying grace, to be given to dying sinners, and may it be given to us, when we must and shall pass that way. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst mercifully provide for each of us, for the young, Lord, in this day in which we live. Oh, do grant, Lord, that help they need. Open those doors for them according to thy holy will. Make an honourable way for them. Direct, Lord. Oh, how true the hymn writer. Lord, direct us. We are fools. Oh, do teach our young. Give them that fear we've read of. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Help them and us to pray without ceasing. Lord, help them to go in the strength of the Lord, leaning upon Christ. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? We thank thee for all thy mercies to us, thy kind and watchful care and provision, thy astounding long-suffering, faithfulness. Lord, above all, the unspeakable gift, thy dear Son, whose name is wonderful, for he is wonderful. Oh, may he be so revealed to us tonight, and may thy people say his name is wonderful. Lord, show thy wondrous grace, thy wondrous love, thy wondrous person. Apply thy wondrous blood. Make known thy wondrous works. Apply thy wondrous balm. Clothe with thy wondrous righteousness. Shed abroad thy wondrous love. We would plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 4. Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. The Father speaks this wonderful promise of his dear Son. And in speaking this promise and every one of the promises concerning his Son, his purpose is to cause his people to look for him, to wait for him. We read in that psalm this evening, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all those that have pleasure therein. Do you ever have pleasure in the works of the Lord as they are set forth in his promises? Has that ever cheered your heart more than anything of this world? You must have been in a condition where nothing less than this would cheer your heart. And my dear friend, you and I will never know Christ till we are brought to that place. You know, as Berridge said, he won't be a make-weight. He won't take second place in his people's lives. He cannot. What did a spouse say of him when she was asked, "What is thy beloved more than another?" She said, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, and oh, how she proved it. She wasn't talking a theoretical religion. She wasn't talking out of her head. She was talking out of her heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Oh, what a blessed thing when Christ comes into our heart and we have to confess him with our mouth, out of our heart. You see, her beloved came to her when she was asleep on her bed. Knocked at the door, "Open to me, my sister, my spouse, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night." Oh, the rejection. "I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them?" My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. You see, oh, he overcome that. He overcame that. Has he ever overcome it for you? Overcome all your reluctance. Overcome all your unwillingness. The psalm says, doesn't he, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Yes, the power of his precious blood, the power of his righteousness, the power of his love, the power of his grace, the power in his voice. Well, the Father saith of him, "He shall not fail." And the spouse proved it. He shall not fail. Oh, the unfailing servant of his Father. He shall not fail to do his Father's will. He shall not fail to bring each one of his elect safe home to God, safe home to glory. He shall not fail to justify each one of them freely by his grace. He shall not fail to heal each one of them of all their disease. The condition of man, the condition of man, his fallen condition. He shall not fail to deliver them from that fallen condition. He shall not fail to put away every one of those sins from the original sin down to each single transgression and the wretched sinfulness of their own hearts. He shall not fail. No. Oh, because of who he is, he shall not fail. The person that the Father speaks of, his co-equal and co-eternal Son. Could God fail? It is unthinkable. It is impossible. He could not fail. Oh, here is the wonder. Here is the wonder of the Father's choice. He calls him his elect in this chapter, doesn't he? He's chosen by his Father. His only begotten Son. Oh, the holiness, the righteousness, the love, the faithfulness. Oh, the godliness. He is God. He shall not fail. But then, oh, that wondrous truth, that mystery, that this one was made man. He shall not fail. That pure, sacred humanity that was formed for him by his Father through the operation of the Holy Ghost upon the Virgin Mary, that holy thing. The Lamb of God without blemish. He did no sin. There was no peccability. No. Impeccable. Incorruptible. Undefiled. He did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. He shall not fail. He shall not fail. You see the necessity. Oh, this is what we need revealing to us. It's this person, this blessed person, Christ. The necessity of his person. The necessity of there being two natures in one glorious person. Why? I speak with reverence. This servant of the Father must have failed if he were not God. And he must have failed if he were not man. The Son of God could not do this work of his Father but by being made man. But if he were not at the same time God, he must have failed. What would that blood of a man avail? But it is the blood of the God-man. In his deity he has no blood, but through that sacred manhood, he took the same flesh and blood as the children without sin. It then becomes the blood of the Son of God by that mysterious union. And that blood couldn't fail to atone for the sins of those for whom it was shed. Oh, you see, the great work which the Son of God himself spoke of which the Father himself speaks of here, is this. I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He should not fail. Thy law in his heart. Why? In his very nature. If we might speak of it like that in our poor contracted way. In his very nature to obey that law. It's in his very heart. Though he suffered all those temptations to the breaking of it, as he was truly made man and walked this earth, and those temptations of the adversary, he stood with divine power against them. And oh, in that great sacrifice, when he gave himself, he should not fail. No. I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straight until it be accomplished? Oh, what is this? What is this? What is it that is making him groan in Gethsemane's garden? What is it that is causing him to cry out, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It is sin. It is sin. Oh, sinner, beg of God to make sin a real thing to you. A dreadful thing. If the Lord show it to you in the person of his Son, you'll never see it more dreadful than where you see it there. Oh, the groaning, gasping, crying, bleeding Lamb of God. This, brethren, this had never been, had not God detested sin. Now the thing is, my dear friend, and this is what I want to speak of more particularly this evening, if the Lord will graciously help me. Oh, it's this work in his people. It's this work in his people. That work which he accomplished, that work of which he said it is finished, he shall not fail. It was finished. Sin was put away. The law was fulfilled. And everlasting righteousness was brought in. Oh, but was it for you? Was it for me? Paul says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more shall we be saved by his life. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Ye shall live also. Oh, that life of a poor sinner. That spiritual life by Christ Jesus. Beginning with a new birth. Hail mighty Jesus, how divine are thy, is thy victorious sword. The stoutest rebel must resign. All those arrows of thine, how sharp in the heart. Oh, that balm that thou dost apply. How soothing, how healing. Oh, what a blessed remedy. That blood of thine, when applied to the conscience, that righteousness of thine, when thou dost put it on a poor sinner. Oh, how clean that makes the sinner, that cleansing. How right that makes the sinner, how just that makes the sinner in the sight of Almighty God. This is the work. He should not fail. Nor be discouraged. I will work, he says, and who shall let it? Nor be discouraged. Oh, the forces that came against him. Everything was marshalled, as it were, in the overruling hand of God. Everything was marshalled against him. The world is against him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The devil, of course, is against him. There was no one the devil was against more than Christ. That's the root of the devil's fall from heaven. He was created an angel. He fell from heaven. He fell from his first estate. Oh, his own disciples are against him, left to themselves. Lord, this should not be to thee, says Peter. He later denies his Lord with oaths and curses, and all of them in Gethsemane, they slept. And then they forsook him and fled. But oh, look at this captain going forth. Look at this servant going forth. Behold, my servant, I've trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. Nor be discouraged. Nor be discouraged. There, poor child of God, is thine only hope. There, poor sinner here tonight, there is the only hope set before poor dying sinners in this world. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth. Now, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now is that drawing unto him. Oh, the spouse again in the Song of Solomon, she says, doesn't she? Draw me, we will run after thee. But you know, the Lord, it's clear from his word, and it's clear from the experience of each one of those who are his people, who are taught of him. There is that work of God in their heart before they know that drawing. None but the wounded patient knows the blessings of the cure. But how can a poor sinner feel his malady? He can talk about his malady. He can say, oh, what a poor sinner I am. Oh, my dear friend, our wretched hearts have got an imitation for every single work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, does it make you tremble? It does me. When the Lord causes it to, alas, how unfeeling are our hearts. The most solemn truths can have no effect upon us whatever. If there is then a gracious concern, if there is then a trembling of heart, if there is a real desire after him in the heart, if there is a real cry unto him, it's because of this text. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. Now that judgment is spoken of in Isaiah 53. It is the fruit of the travail of his soul. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. That's the judgment. I believe the great represents that which is called great, that which is thought great by man, the great men of this world, that we foolishly by nature desire to be among, esteem them, follow after them, want to be like them, want to have the things that they have, want to do the things that they do, want to be one of them, want to be one of the great. Well, the Lord will divide him a portion with the great. Those whom the Lord's judgment separates unto himself, he takes them from among the great. He separates them from this world. He separates them from that which this world calls good and great. He brings them down. My dear friend, we must be separated. What a fool we are if we think we can go to heaven without being separated from this world. And this separation is not just through being in chapel here tonight, where other people are out there, perhaps at their carnal amusements and so on. That's not the separation. You can be sat in here this evening, but completely in heart with those out there, in the very basest behaviour the human race has ever been guilty of. That will be in your heart unless you know this judgment of the Lord's servant. In John 17, he said to his Father in prayer, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. He says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Have you been given the Spirit of Christ? That is the sanctification. The Spirit of Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the judgment that this servant of the Father brings forth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. My dear friend, you can't be poor in spirit unless you have the Spirit of Christ. That's why the poor in spirit is blessed. Because he's got another spirit other than his own. And that other spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. And that other spirit, the Lord himself, oh, he prevails over our own spirit. What will he see in the Shulamite but as it were a company of two armies? Separation then. For their sakes I sanctify myself. What did the Lord separate himself unto? In coming down from heaven. In taking our nature into union with himself. In being made sin. For us, if we're his people, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What did he sanctify himself from? Oh, he said again in John 17, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Oh, he sanctified himself to the cross. This shall not be to thee, Peter said. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And you and I say concerning the cross, this should not be to us. This should not be to us. But if Christ be ours, if we know this judgment, we must be crucified with him. We can't be crucified another way. We must be crucified with him. That is, made dead unto this world by Christ Jesus. Made dead unto sin by Christ Jesus. Oh, blessedly made dead unto the law by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all his people. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. Oh, this blessed judgment then. But again, you see, that word in chapter 53 that I began to speak, quote and speak a few things of, I will divide him a portion with the great. And so this one who is the subject of this merciful judgment of Jesus Christ in the giving of his spirit, in the teaching, in the giving of his grace, of the giving of faith in him by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, having respect to the recompense of the reward by faith. You see, that's what does it. It's not a legal thing. It's not a poor sinner saying, oh, that's wrong, I mustn't do that. It's faith. The faith, yes, that causes that sinner to know what's right and what's wrong as the Spirit reveals him to him. But you see, what does Moses say? Or what does the apostle say of Moses? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And what is the reward? It is Christ. If any man will come after me, that's where Moses was going when he went out of Pharaoh's house. This is the judgment. This is the sanctification. This is the dividing of the portion with the great. And he should divide the spoil with the strong. We believe the strong sets forth Satan. Oh, that strength he had. He was strong enough to cause man's fall. It was man that sinned. Man tried to blame the serpent. It was man that sinned, but Satan was the one that was strong enough to tempt man into sin. And he is strong enough to hold men in unbelief. He is strong enough to hold men in his service. And my dear friend, he's strong enough to hold men in his service, in a profession of religion. He's strong enough to hold men in his service, preaching the gospel. Only the letter of it. He's strong enough to hold men in his service with their head full of religion. But blessed be God, this servant of the Father is stronger than Satan. And it's his ministry to these people. He should divide the spoil with the strong. Christ died for a number of people. Not all. It is particular redemption that he accomplished on Calvary's cross. Oh, it's his particular calling. It is particular ministry. It is particular speaking. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He shall divide the spoil with the strong because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. Now surely that sets forth this truth, that this judgment, by which there shall be a dividing of the spoil with the strong, it is altogether upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that means, in a child of God's experience, the judgment will be, when that sacrifice is set before them by the Holy Spirit, when that precious sacrifice is preached to them, it was so with the eunuch, wasn't it? He read Isaiah 53 and he didn't know who the chapter spoke of. But oh, God sent one to him, an instrument by which he should have Christ revealed to him. He shall not fail. There's this eunuch. Christ died for him, but he doesn't even know who Christ is. This eunuch, he has an interest in Isaiah 53, but he doesn't know who that one is in Isaiah 53. Just as it was with that woman of Samaria. She was one of those redeemed with Jesus' precious blood. But she didn't know who the Messiah was. She's living in sin. He shall not fail. He must needs go through Samaria. With the case of the eunuch, the Spirit said unto Philip, arise and go down toward the south, which is desert. And there's this chariot. What should Philip do? It's not up to him what he does. The Spirit said unto him, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Oh, the wonder-working hand of God. We read that psalm this evening. He hath caused his wondrous works to be remembered. And so the Lord's servants, beneath this one blessed servant, to speak of this one blessed servant, to preach not themselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, according to his purpose, they are sent. And they open their mouth and preach unto that appointed one, Jesus. Now, what a dividing of the portion. You see, there is only one dividing line. It's not nationality. It is not who our parents were. The dividing line is that precious blood which was shed for a particular people. And the dividing line is drawn by God. And it is drawn by God in the ministry of Christ. This is the judgment. John says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There may be those of you here this evening and you're looking for evidences in yourself. Does the Word of God tell you to do that? What does the Word of God tell poor sinners to do? What is the ministry of the Spirit through his servants who were inspired to write the Word? Is look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. It is as John Baptist preached, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Jews asked Jesus, didn't they, in John 6, what shall we do, that we might do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. There is the dividing line. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. He shall not fail till he has set judgment in the earth. Go back to that word I mentioned, draw me and we will run after thee. This soul smitten by the law, caused by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know it's grace. They don't know he is gracious unto them. But it is his grace that makes them feel their need. Now he shall not fail. Here's a sinner. And how are they brought to this one who shall not fail? They are brought as complete failures themselves. Cynic, in that beautiful hymn, he says, Jesus, my all. Go back to it, my dear friend. It's the language of all the Lord's people. Oh, may the Lord make it our language. Can you say this evening, Jesus, my all? If you have the experience Mr. Senek had, you will be able to say it. When the Lord's power is put forth, enabling you to. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Oh, this is the way our flesh would like. To have all our sins. To be able to do just what we like in our life and do our own thing and go our own way. Have a house full of idols, basically. And think that Christ will dwell there too. But Christ will not allow an idol. Dagon must fall before his face, or the sweet ark will leave the place. You children remember that, perhaps you younger ones. When the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines and put into the house of Dagon, their idol, their god, God showed the power of him that was set forth by the Ark. And remember, that Ark of the Covenant is Christ set forth in type. In that Ark was the tables of stone. In that Ark was the manna. In that Ark was the rod, Aaron's rod that budded. And when the Philistines brought it into Dagon's house, that great statue, that great god, little g god, the work of man's hands, God caused it to fall down to the floor. So it will be when Christ comes in. But I was quoting that hymn of Senek's, wasn't I? Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see and I'll pursue, the narrow way till him I view. Now this is that which is set forth in the preaching of Christ by the Holy Spirit to this poor sinner who's nothing but a failure. Who proves what Senek said, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more. Now beware, my dear friend, of just thinking, we can't help sinning. We can't stop sinning. We must look to Jesus. My dear friend, if you're really favoured with a look to Jesus, if you're really favoured with a true and living faith in him, he will stop you sinning. Not remove from you the in-being of sin. No. That is not promised. That's not in the covenant. And so you can never expect it to be done. Your body is sinful. It will sin till it's dead. But the Lord's promise is sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Now this is the work of the servant of God, to overcome sin. This is the great purpose of the servant of God. It's not to make life comfortable for sinners here on this earth. It's not to give them something to be proud of. It's not to allow them to just go on sinning and then he'll take them to heaven at last. No. To put away sin. To conquer it. He shall divide a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Now that's the judgment. That's the judgment. And the judgment is in the power of the Lord's voice. The power of the Lord's voice. There's a psalm, isn't there, that speaks of what the voice of the Lord does. Have you proved any of it? The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Oh, this blessed minister. And this chap, this prophecy of Isaiah is full of him, isn't it? But think of that chapter. Where he speaks of himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now this is the Father's purpose in speaking of his Son. He shall not fail. He shall not fail to fulfill every promise that I've given sinners in his name. Every promise that God the Father has spoken concerning his Son, he shall not fail to fulfill it. Now, there's a promise with regard to prayer. And that promise centres in the Father's servant, Jesus Christ. He shall not fail. The throne of grace. The blood-sprinkled mercy seat. He shall not fail to draw sinners there in their need. He says, ask and it shall be given thee. Now, do you know anything of the unfailing servant in this respect? Oh, what a great work it is. Have you been brought to seriously consider the tremendousness of the truth that God calls sinners to ask him to do things for them? And the tremendousness of the truth that God does more for them than they ask or even think. Now why is it? It's because of his servant. It's because of his Son. That name he has. The name that describes his person. Why can God hear prayer? Because of his Son's finished work. Why does God answer the petitions of undeserving, wretched sinners? Because of those all-prevailing merits of Jesus Christ. 'Tis he instead of the poor sinner is seen when they approach to God. But what does the servant do in answer to the prayers of his people? He does his Father's will. Oh, the wonder of this. The wonder of this, that a poor sinner comes unto God and sometimes they don't know what to ask for. But the Spirit puts in their heart the cry, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. When that woman came with the case of her daughter, she didn't by faith tell the Lord what he must do. She begged him to help her. Look how low she's brought. But the lower the poor sinner comes, nothing. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. He shall not fail. Now, my dear friend, oh, your requests can't be too great. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. He shall not fail. And you yourself cannot be in too bad a condition. The poor are the wretch, the vile are the wretch, the welcome are here. Look how the thief, the psalm said this evening, thou'st caused thy wondrous works to be remembered. You see, the Spirit is the remembrancer. Has he ever caused you to remember the wondrous works of Christ, both that finished work of his and what he did for sinners like that thief? And have you come asking him to do the same for you as he did for them? Your case then cannot be too bad for this servant. The soul that is found at his feet, the soul that is brought to rely on him, the soul that is brought to look to him, the soul that is brought to plead this word, he shall not fail. He will not fail to fulfill that promise. Ask, and it shall be given thee. And you cannot ask too small a thing. He shall not fail. What does he say himself in his ministry? Not one hair can fall from your head, but what is known by your heavenly Father. What a small matter. What does he speak of the sparrows? Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. He shall not fail. But you see the wisdom of this servant. It may be in something in your soul or in your life circumstance tonight, and you don't know his will. No. And so regarding that matter, you don't know really what to ask him. Well, the Lord Jesus taught his people to pray this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. You see the mercy of this. Because Christ is the wisdom. That means the fool is brought to him. And that fool is brought to him praying that he will be their wisdom. Moses, oh, how little he felt himself to be. That was the effect of 40 years of the backside of the desert. The Lord teaching him and instructing him. Oh, how he'd come down by the grace of God from where he was 40 years before. I'm slow of speech, I'm not eloquent. Oh, there may be one in that place tonight. In your providential pathway. It may be one exercised about telling the church what the Lord has done for you. I'm slow of speech, I'm not eloquent. Well, what did God say to Moses? Who has made man's mouth? Who has made man's mouth? Oh, to be really favoured is a solemn thing and yet a blessed thing. To be favoured as Job was when the Lord spoke to him in those latter chapters in the book of Job. Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds? No. God does. We know nothing. We know nothing. He shall not fail. For he knows all things and is able to do all things. My dear friend, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now this is the isles waiting for his law. The isles shall wait for his law. The law of the servant of God is the gospel. That's his law. The gospel. And the gospel is the law of love. The love of God, not the love of man. The love of God as it is manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. To be commanded by this servant. To be commanded by this one who is now exalted at his Father's right hand. A prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. The isles shall wait for his law. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. My soul doth wait, and in thy word do I hope. I watch for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. This is waiting for his law. This law, the servant of his Father, this gospel, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. But what it sets forth is this, they shall have to wait for it. Where shall they wait for it? At the footstool of this one, at the mercy seat. They shall wait for it at Jesus' feet. That's what that woman was waiting for as she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. That's what that woman was waiting for when she touched the hem of his garment. And the isles shall wait for his law. We believe this represents the Gentiles. The isles, this isle of Britain, the many isles of Britain, we might say. And those countries throughout the world, God having a people in certain generations from among all the kindreds and peoples of the earth. And in him shall the Gentiles trust. Oh, on what ground do they wait? The promise. What is their plea as they wait? Mercy is their plea as they wait. By what grace do they wait? Faith. Where do they get that grace from? Christ. And when they feel to have none, from time to time the Lord gives them a grain and they wouldn't hardly call it faith. And so they have to wait upon him for faith. They have to come to him as an unbeliever. Oh, their hard heart. That law that softens hearts. That guilt. The law that puts it away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Their barrenness. In that law there's fruitfulness. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The subduing of their iniquities in that law. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The sinner hears of it by faith and waits for that abounding of it. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. This will be the exercise of the Church of God right to the end. It was Paul's exercise in Philippians 3. He counted not himself to have apprehended. The isles shall wait for his law. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh, that last attaining, which will be the consummation of all that Christ has done. Who should change our vile body, Paul said, that we may be fashioned, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Now, one way in which the Lord's people prove that Christ doesn't fail or be discouraged is in his faithfulness toward them. Now, look at it like this. A student and their teacher, whether it be a child or an older one, and that student is taught things. The teacher speaks things to them. Oh, the slowness of the learning. The Lord is not discouraged. No, he knows what is in man. And after that has been attained, oh, when the Lord teaches a sinner of himself, sheds abroad his love in the heart, gives a living faith, speaks forgiveness, casts out the idols, separates this one unto himself, then, for wise purposes, for the staining of man's pride, for the exaltation of this servant even further, God may permit that one to fall away and go after other lovers. Forgotten. They've forgotten all that the Lord has done for them. They've forgotten all the Lord has taught them. They may have said when they were set at gospel liberty, when they were forgiven, oh, I shall never depart from him. He's won my heart. Oh, I shall never go after those sins again. I shall never be as worldly, as earthly as I was before. That was the sort of thing that Peter said, wasn't it? Though all men deny thee, yet will not I. I'm ready to go with thee to prison and to death. My dear friend, this servant wasn't discouraged by hearing Peter deny him with oaths and curses. Why not? Christ's eye was upon Peter, as the Father viewed him in him. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. There may be one here this evening and you feel the way of sin is impossible for you to be restored. And perhaps the Lord appears to show that he has forsaken you. But what is the evidence that he has not utterly forsaken you? It's this. Deep down as he works in your heart, the longing. Lord, oh, that thou would show that thou hast not forsaken me. Oh, that thou wouldst come again and deliver me from all these idols. And save me from all these sins. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Till he has set judgment in the earth. But what must he do? What must the servant of the Lord do? why he must chasten. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. And the Lord is the exerciser. Oh, what discouragement a father or a mother may have when they chastise their child, and instead of that chastisement having the desired effect, that child becomes worse. So it is with the Lord and his children. Under his chastenings, he complains of them like this. They've turned unto me feignedly. They've rent their clothes, but not their heart. Is he discouraged? No. What does he say of Ephraim, even when Ephraim is in that wretched condition? Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. My bowels are moved for him. I will surely have mercy upon him. He'll tell Ephraim what to do. Return. Take with you words. Turn unto the Lord. And say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. You shall not fail nor be discouraged. Now, what he will work in his people's hearts in these times when they are so laid low by sin and so feelingly cast out, he'll set before them this servant who is not discouraged. Wasn't that what Jonah's eye was set upon by the Lord? The temple? Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Now you see, that's the faith. In some measure, this truth that the servant is not discouraged, that same truth by faith is known in the heart of his people. We read at Ziklag, when David's wives were carried captive and his children, and the city is burned with fire, and the men spake of stoning him, and David was greatly distressed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now there's the communication of this. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. When that works in the soul, why? The servant of the Lord. Now you see, my dear friend, however bad your case, look what Christ has done. Look who Christ is. Full of compassion, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. You say, I'm dead. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't fail to come out of the tomb. And he didn't fail before that to bring Lazarus out of the tomb. And he won't fail to bring any of the people that were in him when he was in the tomb, to bring them out of their tomb. You say, oh, I'm hard. But he is exalted to give repentance. But oh, I haven't a right desire. It is God that worketh in you. You see, the Lord does give his people desires, but we shan't be saved by desires. We shall be saved by the desire of all nations coming. That desire that your soul looks for, longs for, the real fervent desire after Christ, he's the giver of it. It's a gracious thing, not a natural thing. Behold my servant. He'll not fail. Oh, the poor sinner here this evening, but this is my lost condition. I don't really want him. I don't really want him. But when you say that, when that is really how you feel to be, is there underneath it all a misery in that? And you have, as it were, a desire for a desire. Lord, make me want thee. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Till he has set judgment in the earth. That's what you need. You say, oh, but I've got such a love of the world. And John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You say that word condemns me. Well, it's only condemned sinners that come to Christ. If you're not a condemned sinner, Christ is not the Saviour for you. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But look at what John says. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So that sets forth that the cure for the love of the world is not you saying, I'm going to leave that and I'm going to leave that and leave the other. I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do the other. The cure for the love of the world is the love of the Father. And how does the love of the Father manifest itself? Christ. He shall not fail. Poor sinner, ask Christ to cure your love of the world. He'll not fail to do it. Everyone else will fail to do it. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. Think of that woman in the parable of the Lord Jesus. She had an adversary. She went to the judge. And he was a wicked judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. But because that widow kept going to him, he avenged her. Lest by her continual coming. You see, this judgment is not immediately given. And yet it is. What I mean by that is this. The Lord does not often immediately avenge his own elect by giving the sentence of deliverance from the enemy. But what is the judgment? Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him? That's the work of the servant. If you're among those, if you can creep in, there, that is that the Lord doesn't let you give up crying to him. He'll not fail till he has set judgment in the earth. When he speaks, what a setting of judgment. When he applies the blood, what a setting of judgment. When he puts forth the power of his resurrection, when he sheds abroad his love. Now this is how sinners come to know Christ. You will, poor sinner, be brought to know him if he brings you with all your hard cases to him. One word, and the matter is put straight. Oh, as he puts down the enemy, as he puts away your sins, as he softens your heart, as he takes away those doubts, as he conquers that unbelief, judgment is set in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Amen.
Let us close with hymn number 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Number 18.
us, we forgive all that has been wrong. Do bless thine own word, we thank thee for it. We do thank thee for thy blessed servant, thy dear son. Oh, may we know him more, and all his wondrous love explore. Oh, do keep us safe, we pray, and help us along. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.